Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deeper Truth presents... Yes, welcome to another edition of Stand in the Gap, where we celebrate our saint of the day, remember our priests, pray for our children, remember those who have gone before, and many other special features. Following this brief program note, our saint of the day is next.
And welcome to Deeper Truth. Stand in the gap with us at St. Thomas Aquinas. And we will begin with some of his words of wisdom. What does it take to become a saint? Will it? St. Thomas would say, faith has to do with things that are not seen, and hope with things that are not at hand. To one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To one without faith, no explanation is possible. And St. Thomas Aquinas, this was his statement, but yet it's well known there at Lourdes, France, where the Virgin Mary has appeared to St. Bernadette Subaru. So for those with faith, no evidence is necessary. For those without it, no evidence will suffice. Unfortunately, there's some truth to that. And St. Thomas would say, an unjust law is no law at all. Just as Christ's passion was not in its effect in them who are not disposed towards it, as they should be, so also they do not come to glory through this sacrament who receive it unworthily. Hence, Augustine expounding the same passage observes, the sacrament is one thing, the power of the sacrament another. Many receive it from the altar, and by receiving, die, eat. Then spiritually, the heavenly bread brings innocence to the altar. It is no wonder, then, if those who do not keep innocence do not secure the effect of this sacrament. And St. Thomas would say, he who is not angry when there is just cause for anger is immoral. Why? But because anger looks to the good of justice. And if you can live amid injustice without anger, you are immoral as well as unjust. And St. Thomas would say, there must be a first mover existing above all, and this we call God. Faith does not quench desire, but it inflames it. The highest perfection of human life consists in the mind of man being detached from care for the sake of God. St. Thomas would say, we must love them both, those whose opinions we share and those whose opinions we reject, for both have labored in the search for truth, and both have helped us in finding it. The things that we love tell us what we are. That's coming from St. Thomas Aquinas. Truth is the conformity of the mind to reality. And that's the Catholic Church. St. Thomas would say, believing is an act of the intellect, assenting to the divine truth by command of the will, moved by God through grace. And St. Thomas would say, love takes up where knowledge leaves off. And there is nothing on this earth more to the prized than true friendship. There is nothing on this earth more to be prized than true friendship. And St. Thomas would say, as the saints will rejoice in all goods, so will the damned grieve for all goods. Grant me, O Lord my God, a mind to know you, a heart to seek you, wisdom to find you, conduct pleasing to you, faithful perseverance in waiting for you, and a hope of finally embracing you. Amen. That's coming from St. Thomas Aquinas. O God, grant that whatever good things I have, I may share generously with those who do not have. And whatever good things I do not have, I may request humbly from those who do. And the greatest kindness one can render to any man consists in leading them from error to truth. And that is so important right there. The greatest kindness one can render to any man consists in leading them from error to truth. That's why apologetics is so important. You can see there's a lot here about St. Thomas Aquinas. As regards the individual nature, woman is defective and misbegotten, for the active force in the male seed tends to the production of a perfect likeness in the masculine sex, while the production of woman comes from a defect in the active force, or from some material indisposition, or even from some external influence. So, and I think he's relating to an experience that he had with one such woman that he did not care for. And we will cover that in just a second. At 5 years old, St. Thomas began his education at Monte Cassino, where he remained until the military conflict between Emperor Frederick II and Pope Gregory IX reached the abbey. He was then transferred and enrolled at the stadium in Naples. And St. Thomas Aquinas was the greatest of the scholastic philosophers. He produced a comprehensive synthesis of Christian theology and Aristotle philosophy that influenced the Catholic doctrine for centuries and was adopted as the official philosophy of the Church in 1917. And by universal consent, Thomas Aquinas is the preeminent spokesman of the Catholic tradition of reason and of divine revelation. He is one of the great teachers of the medieval Catholic Church, or of the Church. He is the angelic doctor. He's honored with the title Doctor. And at 5, he was given to the Benedictine monastery, and his parents hoped that he would choose that way of life and eventually become abbot. In 1239, he was sent to Naples to complete his studies. It was here that he was first attracted to Aristotle's philosophy. It is believed that Thomas was introduced to his philosophical influences. Aristotle, he's there at the university. And while he also met John of St. Julian, a Dominican preacher who influenced him to join the recently founded Dominican order. When Thomas's family learned of his decision, his mother, Theodora, arranged for him to be moved to Paris. Then Thomas was traveling to Rome. When Thomas was traveling to Rome, his brothers captured him and returned him to their parents at the castle of Monte San Giovanni. And by 1243, Thomas abandoned his family's plans for him and joined the Dominicans, much to his mother's dismay. On her order, Thomas was captured by his brother and kept at home for over a year. Aquinas' parents, hoping he might come to his senses, conspired to have him kidnapped again and imprisoned for more than a year in the family castle. And Aquinas got on with his logical treatises until his brothers tried to make him see the error of his ways by helping inserting a prostitute into his cell. Now you see exactly where, what he was, how he was, this dampened his view about women. Well, his brother, while he was in this cell, inserted a prostitute into his cell. And St. Anthony, in a perhaps unprecedented dismay of monkish restraint, did not succumb to her worldly charms, but rather, wielding a burning stick, chased her from the castle. Can you imagine that? Can you just see that? Picture that in your mind? And that night, two angels were said to have appeared to him in a dream, strengthening him in his resolve to remain celibate. St. Aquinas' family realized then that he was a lost cause, allowing him to escape. And Aquinas trotted off to Naples, Rome, Paris, and finally Cologne, where he took up a professional position and was ordained to the priesthood. So that prostitute didn't have a chance, did she? No, not with St. Aquinas, Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas was held captive in the castle for 1 year and his family tried to keep him from joining the Dominican order. And in the year he was held, Thomas tutored his sisters and communicated with members of the Dominican order. And once free, he went to Paris and then to Cologne, where he finished his studies with Albert the Great. And he held two professorships at Paris. And he lived at the court of Pope Urban IV, and directed the Dominican school at Rome and combated adversaries as well as those who argued. He argued with some Franciscans about Aristotle. In 1252, Thomas returned to Paris to earn his master's degree in theology. As an apprentice professor, he lectured on the Bible and devoted his final three years of his education to Peter Lombard's sentences. His greatest contribution to the Catholic Church is his writings, The Unity, Harmony, and Continuity of Faith and Reason, of Revealed and Natural Human Knowledge, pervades his writings. One might expect Thomas, as a man of the gospel, to be an ardent defender of revealed truth. But he was broad enough, deep enough to see the whole natural order as coming from God the Creator, and to see reason as a divine gift to be highly cherished. In St. Aquinas' first three arguments, from motion, from causation, and from contingency, are types of what is called the cosmological argument for divine assistance. Each begins with a general truth about natural phenomena and proceeds to the existence of an ultimate creative source of the universe. The Summa Theologiae, his last and unfortunately uncompleted work, deals with the whole of Catholic theology. He stopped work on it after celebrating Mass on December 6th, the feast of St. Nicholas, in 1273. And when asked why he stopped writing, he replied, "I cannot go on. All that I have written seems to me like so much straw compared to what I have seen and what has been revealed to me." And he died March the 7th, 1274. In 1265, Thomas was summoned to Rome to serve as the papal theologian and was later ordained by the Dominican chapter to teach at the Stadium, which was the first school to teach the full range of philosophical subjects of both moral and natural natures. His best known works are the Disputed Questions on Truth, that came out in 1256 and 1259, and the Summa Contra Gentiles, 1259 to 1265, and the unfinished but massively influential Summa Theological, or the Summa Theologiae, 1265-1274, when he died. He continued to write and release several more books until 1268, when he was called to Paris for a second teaching regency. And he was named Regent Master again and stayed until 1272. During this time, he wrote and considered much more writing. The master principle of natural law, wrote Aquinas, was that good is to be done and pursued and evil avoided. Aquinas stated that reason reveals particular natural laws that are good for humans, such as self-preservation, marriage and family, and the desire to know God. Aquinas believes that natural reason can demonstrate, prove God's existence. The first step is to know that for everything in the changeable world around us, there is a first cause or prime mover, in virtue of which all other things have their existence, their motion, their qualities and direction. In one extreme case, Thomas was stumped by a difficult passage from Isaiah. For several days he prayed and fasted, begging God to shed some light on the mind of the prophet. And one night he stayed up praying in his cell, and from outside his secretary heard him conversing with what sounded like two other voices. When the voices grew quiet, Thomas called to his secretary and proceeded to dictate a clear and thorough interpretation of the passage. After much and insistent entreaty, Thomas admitted that the two voices were those of Saint Peter and Paul, sent to answer his prayer. Wow. Ain't that something? So, St. Thomas Aquinas is his secretary, and hearing these voices, he heard the voice of St. Peter and St. Paul, along with St. Thomas Aquinas. Now that is awesome. And at the conclusion of his regency, the Dominicans called St. Thomas to establish a university wherever he wanted, with a staff of whomever he wished, and he established the university in Naples and took the regent master post. In 1273, Thomas was seen by the sacristan to be crying and levitating in prayer before an icon of the crucified Christ at the Dominican convent in Naples, in the chapel of St. Nicholas. Wow. Well, naturally, he must have had a devotion to St. Nicholas, since he was ordained a priest on December the 6th, the feast of St. Nicholas. Wow. He was especially mindful of God's presence in the Holy Eucharist. Each morning, he would say one Mass and attend another before turning to his scholarly activities. Many witnesses for his canonization tell of his daily practice and the tears he would frequently shed at the reception of God's body and blood. At other times, he could often be found in the chapel with his head resting on the tabernacle. His love for Christ and his sacrament is manifest in his Eucharistic hymns that he had written. And many of his hymns are still being used, these most beautiful hymns ever written. And they flowed from the heart of a man who is often characterized as living among dry distractions. His heart was full of Christ. There are many beautiful stories that shows this. He became quite fearful in thunderstorms, but would remind himself that God came to us in the flesh. He died for us and rose again. So he knew where to turn when things get tough. In the Summa that he wrote, St. Thomas Aquinas describes the effect of receiving Holy Communion. He says, "The Blessed Sacrament should inflame us with desire for our Lord, and inflame our hearts with charity, and make us godlike. The fervor of charity is its actual effect. These are, in effect, unless we put up obstacles. One Holy Communion is enough to make us saints. Saint Maria Goretti received Holy Communion only 5 times in her entire life, and she became a saint. Why is it then that we do not become saints after so many Holy Communions? Saint Thomas explains that Holy Communion benefits those who receive our Lord in a state of grace, more or less, according to the measure of their devotion. He explains why the effect of the sacrament is received according to the condition of the receiver. Though our level of devotion, our reverence for, and appreciation of the Most Blessed Sacrament will help or hinder the effects we get from our Holy Communions. If we were more reverent towards and grateful for the Blessed Sacrament, our Holy Communions would be more fruitful. And during this prayer, Christ is said to have told Saint Thomas Aquinas, "You have written well of me, Thomas. What reward would you have for your labor?" And Thomas replied, "Nothing but you, Lord." And he levitated during prayer. Jesus said he'd written well of him and offered him anything he wanted. And he said, "Only yourself, Lord." And following this exchange, something happened, but Thomas never wrote or spoke of it. He abandoned his routine, and when begged to return to work, he replied, "I cannot, because all that I have written seems like straw to me." And Master, will you not return to your work? And Thomas Aquinas replies with an emphasis that ensures he will not be asked again. He said, "I will write no more. All that I have written seems like straw." And on that enigmatic note, his life's work ends. Within months, his great intellect will be stilled in death. In May of 1274, Thomas was called to the Second Council of Lyon, where he works for Pope Urban IV would be presented. While journeying to the meeting, Thomas hit his head on the branch of a fallen tree and fell ill. And he was escorted to recover, and then he set out again. And unfortunately, he became ill once again and stopped at an abbey where the monks cared for him for several days. And he received his last rites and prayed, "I receive you, O Lord, ransom of my soul. For love of you have I studied and kept vigil, toiled preaching and teaching." And so Thomas died on March 7th, 1274, during a commentary on the Song of Songs. And Thomas' remains were placed in the church in Toulouse on January 28th, 1369. It is known who beatified Thomas, but on July the 18th, 1323, Pope John the 22nd canonized him. Wow, there's so much about St. Thomas Aquinas. Come, Holy Spirit, divine Creator, true source of light and fountain of wisdom, pour forth your brilliance upon my dense intellect. Dissipate the darkness which covers me, that of sin and of ignorance. Grant me a penetrating mind to understand, a retentive memory, method and ease of learning, to comprehend, and abundant grace in expressing myself. Guide the beginnings of my work, direct its progress, and bring it to successful completion. This I ask through Jesus Christ, true God and true man, living and reigning with you and the Father forever and ever. Amen. And thank you, Lord, for the life of this great and precious saint, St. Thomas Aquinas. And with St. Thomas Aquinas, he became a priest to administer your sacraments, to administer the Eucharist, which he had a great devotion to, and to hear confessions, to bring souls and cleanse souls for you, Lord. So today, we pray for a priest today. We pray for Pope Francis. And we pray for all the clergy today, that today many more St. Thomas Aquinas's are being raised up throughout the world for your people, Lord. So we pray for our priests.
It is time to pray for our priests, the real men in black.
Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on.
Without them, there are no sacraments. He counsels you. Who counsels him? He is on the front lines in the war against sin.
I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side.
Now let us join together as we pray for our priests.
I'm the man in black.
And as St. Thomas Aquinas was ordained a priest to hear confessions and to offer Mass, remember, when you have made a good confession, you have chained up the devil. Praying for others is central to Jesus, his mission, and should be for us, especially the intercession for priests. Blessed Mary, Mother, Mother of Jesus, and Mother of Priests, Mother of Jesus, Mother of Christ, to the Messiah priest you gave a body of flesh through the anointing of the Holy Spirit for the salvation of the poor and the contrite of heart. Guard priests in their heart, in your heart, and in the church, O Mother of the Savior, Mother of Faith, you accompanied to the temple of the Son of Man the fulfillment of the promises given to the fathers. Give to the Father for the glory the priests of your Son, O Ark of the Covenant. Mother of the Church, with the disciples in the upper room, you pray to the Spirit for this new bride, for the new people and their shepherds. Obtain for the order of presbyters a fullness of gifts, O Queen of the Apostles. Mother of Jesus Christ, you were with him at the beginning of his life and of his mission, and sought the Master among the crowd. You stood beside him when he was lifted up from the earth, consumed as the one eternal sacrifice. And you had St. John close by you, your son, except from the beginning, all those who have been called. Mary, woman of the Eucharist, mother and model of every priest, be close to these sons of yours today and throughout the years of their pastoral ministry. Like the Apostle John, they too welcome you into their home. Help them to conform their lives to the divine teacher who has chosen them as his ministers. Heavenly Father, grant that our priests be strengthened and healed by the power of the Eucharist they celebrate. And may the word they proclaim give them courage and wisdom. Pray. For our bishops as well, our priests and bishops. Lord, may your Holy Spirit grace our bishops with the gifts of wisdom and strength, gentleness and compassion, as our bishops continue to take up their role as our pastor and teacher. And we pray for our deacons. Lord Jesus Christ, servant of all, send your spirit upon us. Help our bishops as they serve your church, Lord. Give our deacons eyes to see the needs of your people, and give them a discerning mind to know your truth. And give them a generous spirit when they are tired but needed. Give them a humble heart when their work goes unnoticed. And give them peace of mind and health of body so they may serve with strength. And make our deacons fertile ground for your inspiration and love. Comfort them, Lord, when they question themselves in their ministry. And make their hearts like yours, O Lord, that they may love your people. And we pray for our seminarians, Lord. Lord, give our seminarians the grace to follow you more perfectly. When they are lonely or discouraged, fill them with your peace. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make the hearts of our seminarians like yours. Amen. Lord, please give them strength when they are weak, love when they feel forsaken, courage when they are afraid, wisdom when they feel foolish, comfort when they are alone, or hope when they feel rejected, and peace when they feel that they're in turmoil. Fill your church with the spirit of courage and love. Raise up worthy ministers for your altars, Lord. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, one God. We pray for our altar servers, Lord. Open up our altar servers, their mouths, to bless your holy name, Lord. Cleanse their heart from all evil and distracting thoughts. Enlighten their understanding and inflame their will, that they may serve worthily at your holy altar. Thank you, Lord, for letting them come before your altar, so that with your help, they can praise the Father in heaven as his servers, and help them to find joy in serving at your altars, and help them to find gladness in knowing and doing your will in all things, all for the honor and glory of God. And Lord, we pray for those who have recently passed. pray the Holy Rosary for those who have recently passed. Pray the glorious mysteries for focusing on the resurrection and life after death. God our Father, your power brings us to birth. Your providence guides our lives. And by your command, we return to dust. Lord, those who die still live in your presence. Their lives change, but do not end. And I pray and hope for my family, relatives, and friends, and for all the dead known to you alone. In company with Christ, who died and now lives, may they rejoice in your kingdom, where all our tears are wiped away, and unite us together again in one family to sing your praise forever and ever. Amen. Eternal rest grant them unto them, Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them, and may they rest in peace. Amen. And may Almighty God bless us with his peace and strength, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the light of Jesus and the angels bring peace and salvation to my parents. And may they rest in peace, knowing that their souls belong to God and God only. No demon, no devil, no principality, no evil spirit has access to their light and salvation. And may Holy Mary, the angels, and all the saints welcome them now that they have gone forth from this life. And may Christ, who was crucified for them, bring them freedom and peace. And may Christ, who died for them, admit them into his garden of paradise. And may Christ, the true shepherd, embrace them as one of his flock. And may he forgive all their sins and set them among those who he has chosen. And Lord, Lord, we pray, as we pray for our altar servers, we pray for all children. We pray for our children and grandchildren. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you very much. I beg of you to spare the life of the unborn child, whom I have spiritually adopted, whose life is in danger of abortion.
It is time to pray for those who will carry the faith beyond our years. Our
children, children.
You'll have that responsibility soon enough, kids. But for now,
run and jump and play, young, carefree children,
and help them keep their childlike faith.
And the thing that's really sad is that we lose the faith we had when we were children. Loud, proud children.
Lord, your word is filled with accounts of miraculous protection, and we claim that power for vulnerable children. Make your little ones invisible to people who seek to exploit them. Saint Joseph, watch over us and care for us just as you cared for the child Jesus. And by your help, may we come to know your Son and so grow in strength and wisdom and the favor of God. Amen. Saint Joseph is the patron saint of the Universal Church. Families, fathers, expectant mothers, travelers. O glorious Saint Joseph, to you God committed the care of his only begotten Son amid the many dangers of this world. And we come to you and ask you to take under your special protection the children God has given us. Through holy baptism, they became children of God and members of his holy church. O Saint Joseph, to assist us by your powerful intercession and obtain for us from your divine Son all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that along with Saint Thomas Aquinas, Saint Nicholas and Saint Sebastian, and Saint Maria Goretti, and Saint Daphna, and Saint Philomena, and Saint Gianna, and Saint Christopher, and Saint Michael the Archangel, and Saint Raphael the Archangel, and Saint Gabriel the Archangel, Saint Monica, and Saint Anthony. Lord, you are our children and grandchildren's refuge and fortress, the Lord in whom they can and should put their trust. I pray that no evil shall be allowed to befall on our children and grandchildren. No plague will come near their tent. And Lord, you are the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. And I will call upon you, Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And Lord, we pray for the prodigals. Pray for those who have abandoned the faith. Lord, you said that you would leave the 99 to reach out to the ones who have gone astray. And we pray for the prisoner, Lord. We pray for those who are in prison. We pray for those who are in every need of help. Our Lady of Help of Christians, pray for those who are in most need. We pray for the poor souls in purgatory. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with the masses said throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in Universal Church, those in my own home and within my family. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my mother. To you do I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. In and in the Lord. We find rest. He offers you peace and rest.
Oh, my Lord, you are my shepherd and I shall not want. Oh, my Lord, beside still waters, you repair my heart. I trust in you.
and he will raise us up. He will never let you go.
Thank you.
And this is Deeper Truth. Stand in the gap with us and St. Thomas Aquinas. And who's going to be in the gap tomorrow? It will be Servant of God, Brother Juniper. Juniper. He will be there tomorrow. Be here tomorrow. Heaven is the Catholic Hall of Fame, one that we all should be striving for. We serve a great God. There is no other.
heard the words of secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do ya? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor chord, and the major lift, the baffled king composing
holy, most sacred, most adorable, most mysterious, inalienable name of God, be always praised, blessed, loved, adored, and glorified in heaven, on earth, under the earth, by all the creatures of God, and by the sacred heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the most holy sacrament of the altar. That will do it for today, but we will be back tomorrow, the Stand in the Gap tomorrow. God bless you all this very day. We encourage you to go to Mass, receive the Eucharist in the state of grace, body, blood, soul, and divinity, and frequent the sacraments, go to confession often. And pray the rosary. Pray the rosary. We'll see you next time tomorrow. God bless.